I'm going to read to you some of the scriptures I read last week that I didn't get to get all the way through, and then we're going to jump right back in. I read to you Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. A certain woman which had the issue of blood for 12 years. This woman's sick for 12 years. That's longer than you've been alive. 12 years. Could you imagine being sick for 12 years? And so let's just shorten this up real quick. She comes to the presence of the Lord. She comes to Jesus. She hears about this man of Galilee that is healing the sick. And she says to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. She was Pentecostal. Why? Because she had to go do something. Other people could have just prayed. But she had to go do something. And so she went out and she touched the hem of his garment. And what did Jesus say to his disciples? Who touched me? And the disciples being a little ticked with Jesus. I'm going to guess it was a little afternoon. Why? Because I don't think you would be ticked with Jesus unless you were hungry. And so he's hungry, and he turns to Jesus and says, Jesus, look around. Everyone's touching you. We're trying to make a way here, and they're smashing into us. What in the world are you talking about? Someone touched you. Of course they touched you. They're constantly touch you. And Jesus said, I felt virtue. And what's another word for virtue? Power. What's another word for power? Dunamis, it is the word dunamis, that word virtue, but it could also be the same word anointing. Oh, Jesus felt the very anointing, the very power come out of him. And can I tell you something? When you pray for people, there are some people that you pray for, they'll drain everything out of you. I'm thinking of sci-fi movies. Why? Because I'm a nerd. But there's a movie where these people, I won't go into it too much, but they touch you and they have like a little mouth in their hand and they suck the life out of you, drain it out. Sometimes there are people in the body of Christ, that's what it feels like praying for them. Because they're just, the moment they're believing that they're receiving. And when you lay hands on them, they'll pull everything that you got out of you. These are the people that they would go lay on a grave to try to suck the anointing out of the bones of Elijah. They're like, I'm just going to get mine. I don't care who I have to cross. They're going to get their healing. They're going to get their promise. This woman heard of a man that could heal. This woman heard of a man that was the anointing. This was the Messiah, the Son of God. And she was coming and she didn't care. I have opinion. This is my opinion. This is not the word. Look at your neighbor and say opinion. Opinion. This is my opinion. It was crowded. You might have to use some elbows to get in to touch Jesus. This woman was not pretty about what she did. She got in. I'm going to use y'all because y'all didn't write me no bad emails last time. I'm so proud. She's just like, excuse me, get out of the way. Excuse me, Jesus is right here. I will probably get an email, so I don't use them in any more examples. But she pushed people out of the way. And I would just suggest that there might even been little kids. I am not telling you to push little children or other people. But what I am telling you is this woman was desperate. She was desperate to see a miracle. And all of a sudden, this woman, who was wealthy because she paid for doctors for 12 years until she ran out of money. A doctor can make you broke in one visit. One hospital visit can cause you to be broke overnight. And this woman took 12 years to go broke. So she was serious about getting what was owed to her or what she wanted from the man of God, from the anointed. Now, I almost had a thought, might have been my own thought, that you might be saying, oh, look at Pastor talking about the anointing, puffing himself up. You got to be out of your mind. Do you know who I am? Do you know where I was born? On the wrong side of the track, in the swamps. This has nothing. If we're going to puff anything up, let's puff up the anointing of God. Didn't I already tell you you're all anointed? Didn't I already tell you you all have the power of God on the inside of you? This is not about me. This is about the kingdom of God. And so this woman knew immediately that she was healed. Now she admitted, Jesus, I'm the one who sucked the anointing right out of you. I'm the one who took that out of you. It was me, Lord. She thought she might be in trouble. Now let's go to 2 Kings. Did I tell y'all to go to 2 Kings yet? Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4. Now there was a certain woman, verse 1. Now there was a certain woman who cried. Now first of all, I want to be very clear. Because we hear this word cry. And what do you think? What does the average American think? Oh, Lord. Cry. In my house, we have a rule. You whine, you get nothing. Doesn't matter. You want a popsicle and you whine about it? No popsicle. I'll eat a popsicle in front of you. I will eat one in front of you. And will I feel bad about it? No. And I will tell you, just as soon as you quit whining, you can have one too. But you better suck it up, dry it up, get rid of it, and then speak normal. Thank you. Oh, I'm so thankful. So thankful y'all are like I am. And in this, there's even babies talk like babies. But toddlers talk a little different. And when they get 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, they should be talking a little different. And so I mean, like, stop that talk. Stop it. And if you think I'm bad, Jesse's worse than I am. She is. She will tell them, stop talking like that right now. And this is the thing. Even I've got to the place now when even they play games and one of them's a baby. If I hear, I'm like, go outside because I won't hear that in the house. You're gonna whine like a child. Get out where it's 95 degrees and sweat. You're going to have to pay a price if you're going to whine. Not in the house. No whining. This woman didn't come to Jesus whining, sad, feeling bad. This woman was actually the wife of a prophet who went to the school that Elijah taught at. And so she comes to him, not whining, crying. This word whine, actually, let me see if I wrote the word down. Yes, I did. I'm smart enough to actually write that down. Now, let me remind you that this is a southerner pronouncing Hebrew, but it's Syak. Yeah, it sounds like, that's not Vulcan. Klingon. It sounds Klingon. Syak. They yell at each other really nicely. It means to proclaim. This woman didn't whine, she proclaimed. So let's just read it with the mentality that she was proclaiming something. Now, there was a woman who proclaimed she was the wife of the sons of the prophet unto Elijah, saying, my husband is dead. Question, did everything for this woman turn out like she hoped?
No.
Well, maybe. Just kidding. Some of you started thinking, what does that mean? So it did not turn out exactly how she wanted it. Have you ever had life turn out in a manner that didn't turn out exactly like you were expecting?
Yeah.
Can I tell you something? If there's a problem that turned out something, or you got something in your life that went a different way than you expected, it ain't over. Life is continuing. Life is moving forward. The people of God has always had setbacks. People have setbacks. It shall rain upon the just and the unjust alike. What does that mean? We're all going to experience things that don't make us happy, but we don't whine and cry about it. Now you may have your moment of tears. Hello. And it's all right. I'm not going to tell you that you can't cry. I think that's ridiculous. When my grandfather died, I cried. Someone told me not to cry. They told me that my grandfather was in heaven and I should be rejoicing. And they said that crying was doubt and unbelief. And I looked at them and I was going to say as nice as I could be, but that was a lie. I didn't want to be nice. Had no desire to be nice to them. I said, get out of my face before I make you get out of my face. And they left. They were smart. They moved out of my way. There is a time for mourning. There's a time to be sad, but it isn't our entire life. We don't sit down and cry for our whole life. There are sad things that happen. I've cried with people. People go through bad times. And when I hear it, it is impossible for me not to feel it. I don't know why. You may be able to be stone cold. That's fine. You be you, I be me. Perfect English and all. And so I get emotional. And a lot of times, you know, and this is the bad thing. Even movies will get me. There's some things I can't watch. Especially with Jesse. You want to know why? Because I just can't watch. I ain't crying in front of her. Just not doing it.
And so in there's a moment to be sad. There's a moment to cry. There's a moment to have all this stuff. But we shouldn't live a life of whining. We should not live a life of a complainer. If you are known as a complainer, you need to begin to change, because that is not how God created you. He has created you to live victoriously. He has created you to live in His Word. He has created you to expect the unexpected. He has created you to expect His Word to come to pass. He has created you to have faith in Him that will activate the miracles of God. But my husband died. But this happened. But this happened. The prophet, the wife of the prophet, did not sit down and be like, oh, well, I guess he missed it. I guess he never heard from the Lord. No, she goes to the prophet. She goes to the man of God. And she says, my husband died. And he was at your school. You trained him. Don't know what happened, but let me tell you what happened on this part. He was in debt. We maxed out on Visa, Master, Discover, and American Express. They call me every day. I blocked them all. The bank knows me by name. They're knocking on the door. I need help, or they're going to come. Now see, back then you had collateral and you could put your kids up for collateral. Some of you may wish there were days that you could put your kids up for collateral. But they were coming to get her sons. And they were going to work off the debt. They were going to be indentured slaves until they could work it off, and then they would be free. And this woman came to the prophet and said, look, they're going to take my sons. You know the Lord. You're anointed. Now, look, we're in the New Testament. We're not in the Old Testament anymore. Now we have the same power that's on Elijah, same power that was on the prophets on the inside of us. So we don't have to go to the prophet no more to get an answer. We can go before the throne room of God ourselves, come boldly before the throne room of God. Not whining, not crying like a little baby before the throne room of God, but coming before the throne room of God as you are going to see your Father who owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. What does that mean? He's got the resources to take care of the problem that you're facing. You need land, He's got land. You need finances, He's got finances. You need healing, He's got that power, that ability. You need a new arm, new leg, new joint, He's got the ability. And He will lead you, guide you, and direct you to the way you need to go. And we don't get in, we don't get discouraged, or we don't get under condemnation because my walk doesn't look like Daphne's walk. My walk may look different. My mother was diagnosed with cancer. Y'all know this story. And my mother really felt by the Spirit of God. Well, first of all, they wanted her to have chemo. And she said, no. And I remember that. I remember her saying no. And my first thought was, holy crud. What if we need chemo? And she's saying no. And this is what she told the doctor. She said, I just got my hair the way I wanted it. She said, I am not going through chemo. And I was quiet. And I remember when we got alone and I talked to my mom. I said, now, Mom, I need to talk to you. You need to follow the Spirit of God. And she says, and? I said, oh, well, the doctor suggested chemo. Did you ask the Holy Spirit? She said, the Holy Spirit already let me know before I ever came in here. I'm not doing chemo. I said, oh, okay. All right. Well, just be open, Mom. And she said, you can't get more open than I am. I'm open. I'm like, okay, Mom. And I left it alone. My mother had surgery, but she had no chemo. My mother has no cancer in her body. No cancer in her body. She followed the Spirit of the Lord. Now, she ate healthy. Oh, my Lord. She gave all sugar up immediately. And she went so healthy that it scared me. Everything was green. It was disgusting. It was weird. She had this path that she felt she was supposed to take, and she was obedient to follow. And I remember at the end of her being cancer-free, I said, now, Mom, we cannot package this and tell everybody if they quit sugar and they eat like you do that they'll be healed. That is not the way. The way is obedience. And so Daphne's walk was different than my mom's walk. My mom's walk was different than a lot of other people's walk, than Miss Mary's walk. Miss Mary, who is healed of cancer in this place, none in her body, went a different path. And all these paths are right following the Spirit of the Lord. And somebody can get so in fear. What if I miss it? What if God says go right and I go left? God is big enough to bring you right back in track where you belong. What if God says take this vitamin and I don't? And what if, you know, because you can go broke on vitamins. Vitamins and oil. You can go broke. Essential oils. I got to breathe this in. If I don't breathe this in, my kids won't be healthy. Yes, they will. Breathe in the power of the Holy Spirit. I've already told you I'm not against oils. I believe in the most essential oil, and that is the oil that fries chicken. That is the most essential oil you can have. The other oils are nice, but that at KFC is essential. And so we will go with doctors. We will go the natural way. We'll go whatever way God leads us. But there will be no condemnation on someone who takes a completely different path because God is leading them. And we'll put our faith in agreement with theirs and lift their arms up. Pray, be their brothers and their sisters. Be the church that we were called to be. Walk with them. Tell them that they are not done, that we're going to stand with them the whole way. What did the prophet tell her? Go get a lot of pots. No, pan, you know, not this. Yeah, the kinds you carry and cook in, that kind of pot. And he said, go get a lot of pots and pans. We'll just say pans so we get that out of the way. Deep dishes. Go get deep dishes. And go to your neighbors, borrow as many as you can, shut yourself up in the house, take the oil that you have, and start filling up containers. And so she sends her sons to go do so. They shut the doors, they begin to fill the containers up, and the mom's saying, give me another one. And she fills that one up out of the one container that she has. And then she's amazed that there's still oil. A miracle is happening, and she keeps pouring it. And then finally she says, get me another pot. And the son says, we have no more. And then what does the Bible say? It stopped. It stopped flowing. The first miracle we looked at was a miracle of healing. The second miracle we looked at was a miracle of being debt free. Financial miracle. And so let me just say this. Your miracle that you need in your life may have nothing to do with health and may have nothing to do with wealth. But whatever it is, God can reach you right where you at. He has the answer to the question you have on the inside of you. Whether it's the job you're supposed to take or the direction that is life has for you, what step you're supposed to make, God is there to lead, to guide, and direct you. It may not be containers with oil, and it may not be touching the hem of his garment. But you get in touch with the presence of the Lord. He will lead. He will guide. He will direct you. Psalm says, I look into the hills. Where comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Next time you think your problem's big, look at the universe that was created by God. My God is bigger than the problems that I face. Oh, my Lord, I feel good this morning. Romans chapter 10 and verse 6. Romans 10 and verse 6 says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nine, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. In other words, let me put it this way. Someone says, don't say to yourself, who shall go to heaven and get the answers that we need? Or who shall go to the grave where Jesus was buried and bring up the answers? But he's saying the word of God, the word of faith which we preach is on the inside of you. It's in your mouth. It's in your spirit. Begin to speak the word of God and it will bring the answers. You don't need Jesus to show up. You need you to stand on the word. You need you to do the word of God. We need you to be obedient. Whew. You need to hook yourself up with the Lord. Like the men of valor of David. They hooked themselves up with the anointing of God. And it took them out of all the problems they were in. Took them out of all the mess. Now, we talked about this last week a little bit. When you bring in your harvest, the work has just started. All of a sudden, you got to learn. You got to, when the increase comes in, you've got to learn how to manage money. Because if not, you'll be just as broke as you always have been. Do you know what a whole lot of money for those people who win the lottery? It's dumbfounding how many go broke. Why? It's not money problem. It's management problem. All of a sudden, to be able to bring in the harvest, it causes a lot more work. And people think that the harvest coming in is the answer. Yeah. Yay, Lord, the harvest is here. Well, you know what they had to do when they brought in all the wheat? They had to let it dry out. So there was a time after all the harvest, they had to sit with the harvest. Then it dried out. Guess what wanted to eat that harvest? Dirty little rats wanted to come in and eat the harvest. Not only do dirty little rats want to eat that harvest, but moisture wants to destroy the harvest. The enemy comes to seek, to kill, to steal, and destroy. That's what the enemy comes to do. So the harvest is not the answer. You being obedient is. And so all of a sudden, we let the harvest dry out. And then they make this humongous nunchuck. Looks like a nunchuck for a Goliath. And then they have to beat that wheat. You got to beat it in submission. Not your children. The wheat. I'm talking about wheat here. The harvest coming in. And you got to beat that wheat. And then all of a sudden, now you got to have, there's chaff and there's all this. You throw it up. And you let the wind blow in and blow the bad stuff off, and the heavy stuff is what you need, and that wheat falls back down. Now, wind in the Bible represents the Holy Spirit. So you got the harvest in. Now you got to just give it all to Jesus. Now, I'm not saying you can't keep it in your bank account or, you know, you got to give it all to the church. Nice, but that's not what I'm saying. And we would never deny you that ability. But this is what I'm telling you. When there's work to be done after it comes in. You got to manage it. You got to do something else to it. A lot of people get disappointed. Disappointed. That ain't even a word. A lot of people get disappointed because the harvest comes in and they think they're done. And then all of a sudden they have more work to do. And so what do? They begin to whine. Lord, I thought this was the answer. This was your blessing, Jesus. This was your blessing, Lord. I followed you and it caused me nothing but trouble. My friends turn their back on me. All this has happened. Be like, come on, Debbie Downer. Get up. Sorry if your name is Debbie in this place. Stop being a whiner. There's work to be done. There's a lost and dying world. There is the kingdom of God that must expand. And just because the harvest comes in, just because you get an answer to prayer, does not mean you are done. Normally, it means you got more work to do. And then you got to watch over stuff you never had to watch over before. I know the story of this one person who said, got a phone call from the bank. And the bank said, hey, you got too much money in this account. We need to open another account because the federal government only covers so much. And if we were robbed, we couldn't guarantee the whole amount. He goes, oh, okay, well then fax the paperwork over to me. I'll sign it and just start a new account, put half the money in a new account for me. And I'm like, wow, what an amazing problem to have. He goes, oh, it's so irritating. I'm like, oh God, I'm so irritated. Keep making so much interest, I have to open new accounts all the time. Be like, Lord, trust me with that. Be like, I'll hire someone if it gets too irritating for me. Be like, your job is to open me new accounts. thank you, Lord. Now, Jeremiah says this, Jeremiah 1 and 12. And the Lord said unto me, thou hast well seen, for I have hastened my word to perform it. God's word translation puts it this way. The Lord has said unto me, right, I am watching to make sure that my word comes true. So the word should be in our mouth. We should be speaking the word of God. We should be speaking his promises over our life. So with Daphne, I would call her every once in a while on one of those video chatting services, whatever it is. And I would remind her what the word of God says. By his stripes, we are healed. One scripture says, by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. One scripture says, by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. And I've said this time and time again. I know my English ain't perfect, but if we were and we are, we is now. We is healed now. Well, it doesn't look like it, Pastor. I understand it doesn't look like it. Can I tell you something? When my mama had surgery, she was laying in bed and she had these tubes coming out of her to drain the blood and all this buildup, this nastiness that was on the inside of her from having a big surgery. Well, one of the tubes wasn't draining well, backed up. So all of a sudden, where the incision was, blood is pouring out while she's sleeping. She wakes up at night to a wet bed, and she's wondering what in the world's going on. So she turns the light on. The bed is covered in blood. You want to talk about freaking out? That is enough to freak you out, to wake up in a bed of your own blood. That could be the time of sitting there, Lord, Lord, I thought we were done. I thought this was over. God, cancer free, healing. What are we going to do? Sit there and complain? She freaked out. And what happened? This is one of the scriptures. When I would call her and I'd say, she would have bad days. She would have bad days when she was battling this cancer. And I remember telling her, going back to a story in the Bible, where the man of God got shipwrecked. And I'd just go over that story with her. I'd say, Mom, what does faith do when its boat rams on a sandbar and the waves are beating it to pieces and it's destroyed? What does faith do? And she would cry. I was talking to her on the phone when she woke up in blood. I said, what does faith do, Mom? And she said, it swims to shore. I said, Mom, when faith is on the shore and it's cold and it's raining and the storm is raging, what does faith do? In tears and crying, she said, it builds a fire. I said, yes, ma'am, it does. And when faith is building a fire and snakes come out and bite it on the hand, what does faith do? And crying, she began to say, shake it off. I said, Mom, no matter what we're going through, we're going to keep moving. We are not giving up. You are victorious. You are promised that you would be victorious. You have come this far. We are not done. God is not finished. You will fight this and you will win. Do you understand me? Tears. Yes, I do. And we begin to praise God together. I'm telling you, there will be hard times. But God is looking. He says, right, I am watching to make sure that my word comes true. If God has given you a word, you hold on to it. If God has given you a word, you speak it. If you're facing something and you say, God has not spoken to me, get in the word. Find a word that speaks to that situation and you hold on to it. And you begin to proclaim it over your life. What report shall we believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. There was a song in church we used to sing, whose report shall you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. I love this part. His report says, I am healed. His report says, I am filled. His report says, I am free. His report says, victory. That's what we're going to experience, is the victory of God. And I'm going to tell you something. Just because you have a victory doesn't mean you're not going to need another victory. David faced a lion, he faced a bear, and then he faced Goliath. He was always facing something at some period of time, but David honed his skills with something smaller so he could handle something larger, so he can handle something bigger. Where you are is not where you're going to end up. Why are you facing this? Because you have something big to take care of. You have something bigger than a bear to take care of. You have something bigger than a lion to take care of. You have something bigger than a Goliath to take care of. Daphne, you have something bigger than cancer to take down. You have something larger than cancer. As large and as big as cancer is, there's something bigger that we are destined to do to take care of. The enemy's coming at you with everything he's got. But whose report shall we believe? we will believe the report of the Lord. It is not finished. It is not over. The whole reason this is even here is to try to take the word out of your mouth. It is trying to get you in defeat. It is trying to get you to quit. But we need to be determined. We will not quit and we will not give up. We will keep moving forward. Whether there were things that we had desires that maybe didn't come to pass. I remember there was a point in my life that there were desires I had that I thought would never come to pass. And I went before the Lord and I said, God, I thought this would have come to pass by now. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this was me. So this is what I will do, Lord. I give you those desires. I give them to you. And if I was wrong, I repent. But God, if I'm right, if this is what you have for me, then you're going to have to do it. Because I'm done trying to make it happen. So I give it to you. So there's some desires we'll just have to give to God. And God will watch over them. I watch over for my word to come to pass. Look at your neighbor and say, the Lord is watching over. I want to tell you something. Every person in this place, we're anointed. And you're anointed to lead your household. You're anointed. If you've got kids, you have to have anointing. Sometimes you just want to smear it all over them. That's what anointing means. It's to smear. Sometimes you just want to grab their mouth and smear it over their lips. Thank you. Thank you. Be like, yes, Lord, anointed. And you should probably play church. It's fun. I pray for my kids. I make one be the usher. I make them fall. If they refuse to fall, I just put my leg behind them and push them over. It's fun. They pray in tongues. They shout. And then they want to turn to be the pastor. Ugh. I'm like, no, that's my anointing. No, I'm just kidding. Like, that's the place I'm supposed to stand. And so, you know, we're all anointed and we bring something to a house. We bring something to our family. We bring something to this congregation. We're better with you than without you. Because your anointing is bringing a supply in this place. It's marking this place. And I know what I am called to do. I know when I preach, I know what direction I'm supposed to go in. Can I tell you something? One of my callings, one of the anointings God has placed on my life is to preach with the message of victory, with a message that you can achieve what God has called you to do. That's one of my purposes. That's one of my plans. I am anointed to preach the gospel to the brokenhearted, through the emotionally hurt, to cause them to be healed. This church has an anointing on it to create disciples. This church has an anointing on it to get you out of debt. This church has an anointing on it to take you out of the mire and put you into the plan that God has for you. That anointing rests on this church. And I would just like to hear an amen if you expect to receive from that anointing. Amen. I'm so thankful. 2 Kings, I'm done. And I mean it. 2 Kings 5 in verse 10. We have a man by the name of Naaman. Naaman was a big deal, by the way. He was wealthy. Just think of whatever impresses you in jobs. He was the head of it, the owner of it, whatever it is. Wealthy man, big deal, had a lot of connections. All of a sudden, the man's sick. He needs healing. He hears about a prophet who has an anointing on his life to heal the sick. And so he wants to go to the man of God. And so he does. Verse 10. And so he drives up in his chariot with all his men and all everything that he travels with. And traveling's not like it is today. You get in your car, you go a long way, you're good. We're talking about horse and buggy. We're talking about chariots. So if it's a couple day ride, you got to have food. You got to have change of clothes. And then this guy is wealthy. So if you're bringing a lot of money, you also have to bring soldiers. You got to bring people to protect you and all that you have. Because there's people who will take it away from you on the road. So it's not just getting in your car and driving down to your pastor's house. This man had a lot of journey, had to bring a lot of food and a lot of people. And every person he brought, he also had to feed. So this is a big deal. He drives up to the man of God's house. He gets there. The man of God sees him. The man of God doesn't even get out of his house. Man of God says to his servant, go see what he wants. Most pastors today, if the CEO of, I don't know, Apple, oh, that drives up to your house, you go out and you greet him. But the prophet says, go see what he wants. I'm busy. Let me think what I would be doing. Like, I ain't playing a game on my phone. Go see what he needs. Sorry, that just makes me laugh. And so his servant goes to see what he needs. He needs to be healed. The man of God doesn't even come out and lay hands on him. Doesn't touch him. Doesn't pray for him. But what does the man of God say? Go tell him to dip in the Jordan River. Now, what do we know about the Jordan River? It's muddy. It's dirty. It's what? Just think of a dirty, scummy pond in Wisconsin. I don't know. It's not nice. It's not clean. It's dirty. And he tells him to go dip in it. Now, Naaman gets mad. Naaman's like, I come all this way to the man of God to receive healing from the true and living God. What does he tell me to do? Go dip in the dirty river? I mean, there's a clean river close by. How about the bathtub? How about anything except go dip in a dirty river? Now, Naaman's servant was smart enough to say, hey, master, if the man of God told you to do something that seemed really cool and really awesome, wouldn't you do it? And he goes, well, yeah. Well, then why not? Let's just try it. Let's just try it. And he goes, okay. So he goes, dips. When I dip, you dip, he dipped, right? So when he dipped, what happened? He was healed. Can I tell you something? It was foolish. It was absolutely foolish to go dip. It was absolutely dumb to go dip. But God sometimes will use something that seems so foolish. And God says, it confounds the wise. There are times that you believe God's going to show up in majesty. And everything's going to be right. And sometimes that's the way it works. But other times he's going to lead somebody to take chemo. And sometimes he's going to lead somebody to go to surgery. Sometimes. Now, why? I don't know. But what I do know is we should follow God. But one of the things I'm believing for is the miraculous like we've never seen it before. I'm believing that the church is going to get so desperate for the plan of God. So desperate to experience the presence of God. So desperate to release the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of them. They're going to get the scripture. The scripture is in us. It's on our mouth, the word says. And we place it. We meditate on it night and day. And we are done. The church is done just getting this for information's sake. So we can just quote the word and look smart in front of a bunch of theologians to argue a point. We're done. But the word is going to be so much on the inside of us, and we're going to be so desperate to release it, to operate in it, to stand in it, to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I think we're going to have more of that than anything else. I think we're going to have more people healed in his presence than goes under the knife for the doctor. But I tell you one thing, if they follow God, there's no condemnation, nor will we bring it. We will only stand with you and encourage you and lift you up because we are determined. We are desperate to see God's disciples empowered in his word and in his spirit like never before. Look at your neighbor and tell them, I am anointed. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the work that you have already done in this place.